Well, as we come to the last session in Colossians, let's just pray. Father God, we give you praise and thanks that we have seen this morning your love in action. And we come, Father, and thank you for the book of Colossians, this letter which was written by Paul, who loved you and wanted the best for all those around him. And Father, we pray that for us today. We want you to know that we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Bless you. Well, the first week really was looking at thankfulness, prayer, faith and love, and the fruit in our lives. The second week was part, well, the piece that David read out was the supremacy of Christ and redemption in no one else but Jesus Christ. And week three, we just look very quickly at through Jesus, there's the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we will just carry on now where we left off. But I'm going to go through this. This is Colossians 2, 16 to 23. And I'm going to spend just 30 seconds on this. Because this really is telling us, do not let rules and regulations take the place of Christ. There's so many, when he was talking to these Jewish people perhaps, that there are so many rules in what you have to do. That, you know, do you have to do two headstands, turn around six times, or these sort of things. They had so many different rules and regulations that it was really a curse to them, many of them. And so he's just saying here, do not anyone judge you by what you eat, drink, celebration, all these things. And it goes on to the last verse, which says, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And what Christ wants to do is to change us from the inside out. And so let's have a look today and see, not much time left, but we'll do the best we can. So don't go by rules and regulations. Go by the redeeming life of Christ in us. Seek Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, and do things that you know will establish the kingdom of God wherever we go. I just want to come on to now chapter 3, just the first few verses. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ appears, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We have eternal life now. From the minute you were born again, you stepped into eternal life with Jesus Christ. And when he says you have been raised with Christ, you have. You have been raised with Christ and seated where he is seated at the right hand of God. And I think we need to refocus. I do too, very much. We need to refocus our thoughts and not depend on our emotions. Whether we feel like it or not, deliberately put your mind on things above, the Bible, where you and who decides what you focus on. As we look here today, you will see it is up to you and me to refocus. God does so much for us, but there are certain things he will not do for us. He will help us, but we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Take time to work on our personal life, in our discipleship with Jesus Christ, in our relationship, with our behavior. Who are you mixing with? Are you mixing with people who will pull you away from Christ? Or are you mixing with people who will help you with Christ? We do want to be there for others who don't know Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But we do need to make decisions that our relationship with Christ grows stronger and deeper day by day. We cannot adjust the Bible to suit us. We have to adjust ourselves to fit the Bible. No political correctness is right if it doesn't fit in with the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word time and time again. as we go on from there, verse 5. So, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And I'm speaking here and telling us and telling me these things too. Sexual immorality. This is something which is rife throughout the earth. And it is unbiblical and it is not correct. So let's get this really straight. Impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves, not Christ, rid yourselves of all such things as these. Let's think of this. Anger. Do you suffer from anger? Do something about it. Do you suffer from malice, slander, filthy language? What do your lips say? What do you get taken away when you're with people who don't know Christ? Do you say things you shouldn't? Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its Creator. Verse 11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We are all one in Christ. No matter where you come from, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what it is, what color your skin is, where you were born, whatever it is, we are all at unity in Christ. Christ has accepted us all, loves us all, wants the best for us all, and so we need to come together in unity and love in Christ Jesus. And I just want to share this with you, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we've had this before, but say it again, clothe yourself. It's clothing yourself. You need to put on these garments. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you and me, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The first week I spoke about virtue, and this is where, and it says, on all these virtues put on love. I'm going to just read out some virtues again, and there's a few more added to them, and then I want to speak to us just a short time about love. These are virtues: goodness, righteousness, morality, uprightness, integrity, honesty, honor, decency, respectability, worth, trustworthiness, merit, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And it says their virtue, put on, which binds them all together, love. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I'll tell you a few verses here, or a few things about love. Love passionately and patiently bears with others as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires for others. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, consistently exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, or snobbish manner. Love is not rude and discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Love does not deliberately keep record of wrongs or past mistakes. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. That's what binds all those virtues together. It's love, love, love. Christ loves us in all those ways, and that's how he wants us to be to one another and to the body of Christ. So let's see and think in the next week how we can encourage one another, help one another, be there for one another, so that we may be in perfect unity. And 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. We talked about thankfulness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I know, as we've seen today and as we've worshipped and as we've chatted, I want us to really understand what Christ has done for us. It is just amazing. And as we read the word and as we get devoted in the word and as the word becomes so such life in us, I'm saying today to myself more than anyone here, I need this word in me much more. I need this word unlocked in me so powerfully that I make a much, much bigger difference than I've ever made before. And I just want you, the next part is rules of Christian households. This is teaching wives to obey your husbands and husbands love your wives and children, and go on about slaves. I haven't got even chance to unwrap this today. But this is part of what the household should be. But then when we come down to 4, verse 2, it says this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul could not get out of his heart, and never wanted to, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ wherever he went, whether he was on a high, in a valley, being stoned, shipwrecked, whatever it was. He understood, and he wanted people to know the wholeness of what Christ has done for them. And I just share this. This was that God may open a door. And I pray this almost every day because I feel this is on my heart. And I share this. J. John, he's been in America for a month. And some wonderful things have happened. And I pray for a door for J. John in his creative ability, which God has given him, to open doors so that people may know Christ. And he was sharing in one church, there were, I think it was 809 born again just from that one church. That is the anointing of God in evangelism to allow people to come to Christ. And another church, a smaller church he went to, and he said, I think this was the best thing I did. He went to many, many large churches. And he said, do you know what? The first night, there were 30 people who were born again. And instantly, they said, the baptism is open. We've got shorts for you. We've got tops for you to put on. So those 30 were baptized instantly. The next morning, there were another 40, and they did the same again. That's the Spirit of God moving because he had an opening. He had an opening in heaven. There's an opening for the evangelist to come and bring that good news of Jesus. And I can't tell you how much I need that word more and more in my heart. Let me just go on for a little bit here. This is verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in them and use every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. I want us to know the word of God so clearly and so deeply. And I'm not going back over this ground, but I want to tell you something this week. It took me 5 years to get rid of rheumatoid arthritis. And when I went, I thought, boy, I want to tell you what happened to me this week. Last Wednesday, I went to move something which didn't weigh quite 100 weight, and I went to shift it with my leg. And I can tell you that was not a good thing to do. My knee was swollen up. My leg was so bad I couldn't sleep at night. I just didn't know what to do with it hardly. And Friday, for some reason, I got in the car, and I knew what pain was like from rheumatoid arthritis. I got in the car, and my leg was so painful, I could have screamed my head off with it. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was so painful. I thought my leg was falling off. It was so bad. I've never fainted in my life, but I felt so ill. We were in the car. We were in a traffic jam for an hour. And I was screaming out in pain. Neat was praying, and we were shouting. And I don't know what happened to it. It was just absolutely terrible. And we prayed, and I got out of the car, and Neat said, we should go to the hospital. You can't put up with that. I said, Neat, I'm not going to a doctor. I'm not telling you to do this. There's doctors here. Go to a doctor, guys. But I'm saying this. I said, no, I'm not taking anything. I got out of the car, and I got to the car park, and I started walking. And do you know what? I've been healed of it ever since. I would not allow anything to take me from the Word of God. I know the Word of God, and I know how it works, and I know how to use it, and I am not prepared to not stand on the Word of God. And I really do believe, as I heard Andrew Womack say last night, he said, it took me 8 hours the other day. He said, and I was going around on my nose pushing the Bible because I was in such agony. I was on my hands and knees pushing the Bible. I said, God, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to wait and do this until I'm free. 8 hours later, he got free. I'm telling us, there's things in here I need, not you particularly, I need to really get devoted to. I really need to know more. Because the more I keep studying, the more I keep in this, the more I realize there is to know, and the more I know I will be set free. I'm only trying to help us understand. Let's not live our Christian lives as if bits and pieces of it and things of this world don't matter. They do. Watch what you see. Watch what you think. Get your mind lined up with the Word of God that we may truly see His kingdom and what He does come in. Will you have persecution? Yes, you will. Dear Gary, who was over here, he was telling me this morning, he said, I've had such a wonderful time with Jesus and how he's been since he's been coming here. But he was telling me today he's had some problems where he is because people don't want him praying. It really upsets people when Gary is praying in the care home and stuff. He said, what do I do? I said, use some wisdom, Gary. Ask the person if they would like prayer or whatever. But don't stop praying. They can't stop you praying. You can pray in your room. You can pray for people. Just don't tell them other than about Jesus. But you know, all the way through life, you will find as you start coming more and more and more into the wholeness of God, the more and more persecution you will have. It just seems to go that way. But be joyful on my mountaintop. Be joyful in the valley. Don't allow those different situations to take that joy and that peace and that goodness away from you. That's what Paul was saying through all his letters. I keep on to the end. I run the race. I will not stop. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm here for Jesus Christ and Him alone. And this is Paul saying this, and this is what he's saying to the church. through the rough and the smooth, through the good and the bad, I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ. I'm going to be there and stay there, and I'm not going off the word. I will not allow whatever comes against you to defeat you, because Jesus Christ has defeated every power and authority. And it comes on here now. Let me just read the rest of this verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act to outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then it comes on to final greetings. And I'm not going through these, you can read it yourself. But he is saying, really, that there's people here who are for him. Lots have deserted him. But there's people there for him, seeing him through. And as we read this, we can rejoice that he brought about quite a lot of the New Testament because of the way he saw the kingdom of God, grasped it, and went for it with all his heart. And that's what we should do with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. We should rejoice that Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. God bless you.